The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Welcome, everybody, and I'm glad to see this many faces in the morning. Really, just like I was hoping like a half of it. So I'm really happy that you spend the time. And I have limited time because this is actually well, it is planned as a workshop for 90 minutes, but I couldn't have done it, so I have like 45 minutes, and I'm going to use the best of it. And probably no questions, but you can catch me later after the talk. And this is basically the topic today. It's just like topographical maps for all. And I really mean that because, well, in this country, when I came, I just went to an outdoor shop and I realized that there are like several versions of the maps for almost any recreational area in your country. And you are probably one of the luckiest in the world in this regard. And where I came from, or where my friend Anaximander of Miletus came from, this act of mapping is actually a criminal offense. This may sound a little bit weird, but it is. And this guy has actually made the very first world map in the history. And this is the map, the approximation of it probably. And in the land of the first map, it is forbidden to make maps. Unless you are just going to license it for 2 years and then they are going to be checked. And most probably, even though you are right, you have the right to license, they are going to deny you because, well, Cold Wars, spies, and all that fear. And the question comes actually when it actually comes to the paper maps like this, why? And that's actually a valid question in the age of like a digital revolution afterwards. As everybody has their phones and everything, that you have the capability of mapping that even some states didn't have like a decade or 2 decades ago. And why is actually just a little bit personal. First, it's fun. And if anybody haven't seen a paper map before, just touch it. And you will get the feeling. It's just luxurious to have it, like a linen on you while they are sleeping. It's just like really fun. And they are useful in their regard. There's no batteries. If anybody actually tried to navigate with a phone or anything, you know that you just have that anxiety of just like, okay, is this going to run out of battery at soon? Or is it going to get wet? Is it going to just get frozen somehow? And it's just, they're wide also. And you can just plan your trip like for like a large area on a surface. Probably we have like TVs this big only. And they're cheap because, well, just like this is a piece of paper that has been printed by a digital copy center, and it just costs like maybe a dollar or two. But a really mapping, a purposeful mapping device is probably over like $400 right now, excluding the rights to the proprietary maps that they are coming with. And, well, it's shareable, which is actually one of my best things. I can simply just give it to you. And at the end of it, if I have a request, if anybody just want to fulfill it, this map is yours. And it's shareable, so that it's mine, I can give it to you. Legally, it's mine anyway, just because I bought it, like a book, a regular book, not the Amazon kinds. Okay, go ahead. And this is the fact. This is the map. Okay, this is the fact. Like in Miletus, where it resides in Turkey, you require a permit to make a map, any map, and it's a criminal act, by the way. And there is no penalty actually has been given to it. Like that, it just says like it's a criminal offense. And what is the penalty? We don't know what we think of. So I haven't seen anybody actually get this. Sentence at all, but still there is. And you cannot make any maps above this, above this. So, and can you buy them? That's the question sometimes come. Okay, maybe you cannot license it yourself, but surely there's somebody licensing them, right? So you can buy it. And no, you cannot. Because any navigationally useful map is either military classified, or they're stolen from the military and they're just under the table shared with people, and you're always using it as somebody coming, just hiding it underneath your fleece or jacket actually. So anything else that actually behaves or just like, you know, how can I say, claims that their map are useless. And there's an app for that. they always say that, and most of them proprietary, and just simply you need to have a license for it. You don't have the right to modify it, change it, because you are the local over here. You know what is best, but you cannot change it because somebody from faraway country, from a satellite, said that this is a house, but it is not. It's a barn, but you cannot change it, and it's not yours. And electronics and outdoors are not friends. Really, I own a purposeful Garmin device for a long time, even though they are purposefully built for this. Batteries run out, water gets in, they're getting old. Really, just it's not. And, well, entropy is your enemy, and your battery is eventually going to run out. So if you're in an extended period of time on the outdoors, like a month, you need to pack like a lot of batteries with you, and then you need to pack them out too. And even though if something happens, you can still run out of batteries because, well, just it's not, it's a limited finite source. And sadly, Turkish government's after them too. So recently they just changed this law to just tax actually the big companies for extortion. Like, you know, they want to, every mapping company that is actually being used like over a certain amount of user need to pay this much amount of money to us kind of thing. And they just were after OpenStreetMap too. And there was a fire cease with that, but it's still on the balance. So what is actually this project is about is actually free culture to rescue. And I cannot actually express my feeling about this project because, well, as a like a long time mountaineer and outdoor enthusiast, it's just I wandered with my fellow climbers actually into the wilderness blindly for a decade. Really, just like maps, a proper maps for any region that I might want to go was so rare, so hard to find. Having something like this in my hand, with my own tools, with my own agency, is just a bliss. Really, just like I cannot believe still even that is possible. A decade ago, I couldn't dream of this. And now, with the power of the free culture, software, hardware, information, I can do this, and I'm going to teach you how to do this for yourself too. Really, just like this is magic to me, and this is not my project. Actually, I just barely the servant of it, and there are many, many people that actually I'm stepping on their, how can I say, progress, their goodness, their will to share with the society, and QGIS is one of them. This is the blender of the geographical information systems. I'm pretty sure that soon it's going to replace all proprietary examples of it from the face of the world because it's so extendable, so powerful. It's just like amazing. I couldn't believe that this existed and I didn't know that for a decade. And OpenStreetMap, I cannot stress how important OpenStreetMap is for society at this point, really just like, it's maintained by millions of people around the world. It's just like sheer will of open culture, open free society information, actually. It's just like amazing, really. Just look at the Boston area map, OpenStreetMap. You wouldn't believe the detail that it has. It's just like just smoking every other commercial option from this land. And a relic from the past. Anybody knows what it is? Probably you do. And apparently NASA at some point just stick a radar, a really expand radar onto a shuttle and let it float over the Earth for a long time. And they collected a near global elevation data from the world and they are sharing as a public information at this point. It's called Shuttle Radar Topography Mission, SRTM in short. And this is what makes this thing actually a reality because OpenStreetMap and QGIS can give you a urban map. But what makes a wilderness map useful is actually the topographical nature of it. And without this, it was impossible actually at this point. So just, I really sad that these crafts are not in operation anymore. They were so iconic. And I just really salute that whoever actually thought that this is a good idea because this was a good idea. And all this to create that. And this is a map that has been done by my friend, Miletus, of Anaximander of Miletus, from a really, really popular climbing area, like the cradle of mountaineering in Turkey. And this is the really first map that has been made for this area that actually belonged to us, nobody else. And there are some aims for this project. First of all, it needs to be correctly scaled. There are books in Turkey that actually claims to give you a map, but they are not maps. They are just a drawing of the area in a really rude way. So it's just like, it's not scaled right. So you cannot make sure that a distance on the map that you are reading is actually a distance on the field. So it needs to be correctly scaled. And at this point, I'm sorry for that. I'm coming from a part of the world that metric system is actually the only system. And you will see how useful it is. Really, it's like I try to just actually make a map for imperial system to show you. And I simply couldn't comprehend the idea. And I'm sorry for that. For now, everything will be in metric at this point. And it should be topographically accurate. So I need to know there's a path that I see on the map, which I can't climb. I need to know the inclination, how high I'm going to climb, if it's a mountain pass, if it's a valley pass. I need to know that, and it requires topographical information. And this is the scale that we just actually decided. And it need to have relevant coordinate systems. And probably if you ever seen a map in the United States, probably you will see a UTM system. But you are having different projections. It's not VGS 84, as far as I can tell. I compared another map with this one that I have. It's a little bit different. VGS 84 is actually the ones that you are using on your phone and everything. It's just like a globally accepted one. It's just that the coordinates that you know is actually this. And there's a military standard, the NATO standard, MGRS. And that's useful because it's used in my country as the military maps. And it's useful because most of the rescue operations actually use those maps. So to coordinate with any rescue with these maps, it was required to have that military standard too on it. So there are three different coordinate systems that you can actually read from the map. And I need to have this navigational useful things like, paths, shelters, passages, these are things that you are looking to a map, just like you're in a dire situation, where is the nearest cave? Or I'm lost, where is the passage? Here is the passage. Map should have been able to tell you, and this is what it needs to. So opposite data is just important part of it. And it needs to be current, that's the real thing. The maps that I told you that people are actually secretly using are actually from 1970s. There are some roads, highways that has been cut through the forest, mountain areas that is not existing there. And you cannot actually simply update it. And just like, it's just old. Even the magnetic north has changed so much. The inclination that the map shows you is actually off the charts. And it needs to be current because you are living this moment, not in the 70s. Maybe if you are going to travel back, if you catch up the doctor, maybe you can actually just need the map. But I'm finishing, and these two pictures actually really currently, please contribute to OpenStreetMap. I cannot distress this enough. Maybe it's a fun project. Maybe rest of the world actually needs it for their navigation and stuff. But it saves lives. And like a month ago, my country actually hit by like a really, really once in a century earthquake. Like thousands, 100,000 buildings has collapsed. Thousands of people died. And OpenStreetMap was the only map that we were able to actually use without any connection, internet connection. And we didn't have that like for 2 days straight. And this map over here, you've seen it actually. Fortunately, I had this data on my computer at that time, and I generated it. And this was the only practical paper map that we had on the field. And the best part, 4,000 volunteers mapped the affected area in less than a day. Millions of new buildings created on the map in the day, and they just marked the buildings that has collapsed in a day. And we had the database of damaged buildings on our laptops, straight. And just, I cannot, if you are going to do one thing for this, for anything, for humanity, just contribute to OpenStreetMap. There are ways to do that. You can find it online. It is such an important part of the culture that we are flourishing right now. It needs to be supported. And while I'm saying that, let's make our own. And my friend Anaximander showed me how to do this. I can say that I don't have this project, but I'm going to show you how you make your own. But for the sake of it, the maps that I show you is actually behind a Tor node right now. And if you follow this code, you will go to that site. I hope it's working. And it's in Turkish, sadly. But if anybody wants to host this out of the grasp of the Turkish government, I would be glad to have that conversation with you. Just find me afterwards. And that's it. Anybody has their computers? No? Okay, then you're going to watch me. Let's see. I have a captive audience now. And that's the best audience I have. And let's start this. Sadly, my poor X200 is actually a little bit underpowered for this job, so there will be a lot of long pauses while it's loading everything. Okay, now, nice, it works. Okay, here it is. Do you want me to show you this map, the data, or do you want me to make it from the ground up? How much time do I have? How many? 30. Okay, maybe we can make a new one. Okay, let's start. A clean slate. So you have an area that you want to map. First thing you need to do is software and a couple of other plugins. And one of the plugins that you need is most is actually, web. It's Quick Map Services. It gives you some general services that you can load a map, and we are going to use the opposite map regular tiles. And let's zoom in to the open to the Boston area. I have a friend over here who is actually hosting me, and I'm really grateful. And he actually invited me to climb White Mountains, and I made this map for this purpose. And let's have this area. And I'm going to set this to 1,000 meters. And am I in the right place? I think so, not necessarily important. Okay, you have your target area. And maybe this is enough for you, and you can simply actually export this. But we need some information about it. And the quick and dirty way to do this actually, you need another plugin, which is called, Open Topography Dem. This is the one plugin that you download the topographical data from NASA's servers. And you need an API key. You need to just go there and get it. Just don't use mine, please. And simply just click it to the canvas extent, and you say just run. And it's going to download a really, really ugly picture of the whole data. And am I connected? I'm just doing that. Yay, I'm connected, but do I get any info out of this? Oh, well, sorry. Because privacy reasons. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Run. So it's going to download the data, and hopefully it will do it today. Please. Come on. All right, okay. We got it. Okay, we got the data. And it's just ugly, cloudy, really just like not really cool. And we are going to disable it for now because we are going to extract the data. We don't need that cloud for anything. And we go to the raster again, and we call extraction and to contour. So this is where we generate our topographical lines, the isohips, if you call it that way. I'm choosing the right layer, the data, and then it asks me intervals that I need. And I suggest you, if you're in a flat land, you can make it like a 10, 50 meters, one for 10 meters, one for 50 meters, so separate them. If you're in a mountainous region, like an alpine region, it's like a 20, 100 is actually a better option. Since this is actually quite a low land in that respect, I'm going to run for 10 meters. Whoop, magic happens. And then I'm going to run another time for 50 meters. Whoop. All right, I'm going to just lower this down. Ta-da! This is a useful map. By this fact, by only this, you can use this. And you can change the colors and everything, just like, you know, styles, they're a little bit thick and random colored. So simply you can just, properties. And you can simply just, you know, symbology, it's too thick for me, let's do it 1 millimeter. I don't like the color, let's make it gray. Nice. And then hit it. Okay, let's just change the other one too. I don't know. Oh, sorry. Wrong day. Okay, I don't like gray. Let's create an orange one for this. And okay, this is thick. Let's make it 1 millimeter. All right. Nah, maybe the other way. But you got the point. Now maybe I can just change it really fast. Copy style, all style, style, paste. Okay, and I'm just going to do this, not, well, it's gray. Probably this will look a lot better. Let's lower the opacity. But it's up to you. It's your device at this point, and you can do whatever you want. I think it's just too, sorry, I'm not a stylist. Okay, you got it. So we have a useful map actually at this point, but you want the legend too. You know, you want to know what symbology means, what on the map. You want to create a custom way. Okay, we have another application for that. It's called Quick OSM. It helps you to download opposite map data by just, you know, pulling it. And you just need to know the keys. You can go to the opposite map website. It says that what keys are actually looking which particular object. And one of them is actually, let's see what is there. Let's see something. And, okay, let's see. First, download the forest areas, actually. Okay, natural. And wood, nice. And I'm going to say canvas extent. And then I'm simply going to, all right. I'm going to play by rules and run the query. It's just going to do its magic. And then hopefully we're gonna get some layers. Okay. Now we have the wood layers. This is the forest that is actually, but it just doesn't look nice. And I'm going to remove this. We don't need that. Yes, please. And I'm going to just shape this to my... I think if we all think about wood or forest, we think green. So I'm going to choose a nice green color for this. Lower its opacity a little bit, like 50, and then hit it OK. See? It's better. And I'm going to just put it down underneath it, so the contour is actually just visible. Maybe it's not the best color right now, but you just got the point. For every detail, you need to pull it, and it's going to come over here. It's natural wood with its name. And there are actually hundreds of things like that, but you can automize it. And the way I do that, actually, just you go QuickOSM again, there's map presets over here. And there's an urban one, it comes standard with this, but I made my own over here. For this, like roads, outdoor, utility, some information, water, surfaces, civil, and structural. So you just actually, let's edit one of them, or perhaps let's delete this and run my own presets so we can see how it works. And then you're gonna go there, map presets, and let's see, what would it be? Probably water will be around. And what it is actually, when you edit it, it opens up and there are some sets over here. You just click them, and the query, you just put it here. And it just, there's styles. You say that I want this style to be like this. You save a style to a location, dedicated location. And every time that you download for a new area, it just downloads the data, shapes it, puts the right color and everything, and just ready to go. So we are going to run these. Let's run them. Why not? And sorry, I need to sadly gonna shape this. Okay, and let's run areas in canvas extent and run. So it's going to just do whatever it does, and then voila, And one by one, it just queries up. If it's there, it downloads it. If it's not, it passes. And you can see the progress down there. And when it's done, it's going to say, yes, it happened. And no results. I really wish that I had 90 minutes. It's really nice to see like a friend of faces looking at me silently and just really interested in. I hope you are interested. I cannot tell it from here. And maybe you are friendly or you are just polite. Okay, see, I have this right now. Doesn't it look better? Because I just spent like hours on this. And we can simply see that the line is there, everything is there. I can run like a lot of things. I really like the preset that I have is actually Road, because it also downloads the paths on urban areas. And OpenStreetMap is amazing for like finding paths, because everybody's on the field actually making these. And let's run this, canvas extend, run. Probably it's not going to find most of it because there's no highways, no motorways, anything, but it's going to run for everything and then download. And hopefully we'll see some of it on the screen. Yeah, the paths came already over here, you can see that. And come on, don't just take my time. Ah, train lanes. Oh, there are a lot of things. Cool. Okay, we are done. See, we have a better map now. Let's actually make our map. This is the preview of it. And what you need, when you're satisfied of the data that you actually just imported here, you go to like here, and then there's a cute little option called Layout Manager. And since I don't have a layout over here, I'm going to create a new one. And I'm going to call it and yes, yay, we have an empty canvas. So first thing you need to do is actually decide what is your map size. And okay, wait a second. Here it is. This is really important because, well, this depends on your application. And normally I just prefer to have like the standard map sizes because this is standard and you have a big surface area that you can use multiple times. But if you don't have, this is expensive to print actually, just like relatively to a home printer. And if you want to just go with a home printing, just go for A4, but you will just get a really, really small area, so be known about it. You can make multiple of them. There's a method called like Atlas. So you can, you just map it, you sign, mark a large area, and this software creates the maps for you, for the each component. So it's just too hard to explain it right now, we just don't have time, but you can do this. Like you have like A4 maps, like print like hundreds of them, stack them in a binder, and then use it like that. But I'm going to go a little bit larger. I think it's just A3 is actually the best size that you can have. And let's start. We're gonna add items, and the first one is a map, because we need a map. And then, whoop. Ta-da. It's going to download the data that we have. Sorry, I need to center it probably. To the canvas that we have. And see, now we have a map. And you need to scale it. And this part is important, how high you are going to be depending on your scale. In normal things, actually, the standard NATO tactical maps that is actually planned for operations or just rescues in my country is like 25 centimeters or 25 kilometers, actually. And you can go 24. I know the USGS maps actually follow this line. Or you can go, I don't know, 100. If you just don't want to, is it too much? Yep. Sorry. You can go 100,000, and it will give you a large area and a small area. You will lose a lot of details on that, but if you don't need it, you can just go for it. It's just up to you, it's your map. But I'm going to go friendly old 25,000. And then that's our map. With some key combination, actually, you can just move this map where it is on the pressing C, and it was centered there. And then I'm going to add something else because a map isn't complete without a legend. And it needs to have a legend. Ta-da, there's a legend. If I zoom in here, you will see that it actually downloaded the data, the layers that actually we have on the map right now. So any data that you just layered will be shown here with its symbology. I just shaped this. This you can just make it two rounds, double layer, just like any kind of orientation. But this is going to be there. That's the reason why it's important. And then let's zoom out. Oops, sorry. We're full. And then what else we can add? We can add a lot of things. You can just add arrows. You can scale bar for like measurement. You can just boop, add one. And then it shows that how many meters or how many miles will be shown on the map like this. So this is like this will be the right scale on the paper, that this kind of distance will be like 500 meters. So you can change it. You can just nautical miles or anything. Just you can shape it anything, any way you want. And well, things crash. And I can assure you, it crashed a lot of time. I lost a lot of data while I'm just working on the project. And I want to cry sometimes. But let me show you the real thing, that the data that has actually made this map. And Boston, Washington. Oop. Because we lost the other thing and I don't want to build it again. And I think I'm running out of time at some point. 14? Okay, that's enough. See? A lot of layers, a lot of data, and maybe this computer is a little bit underpowered, but it can still work. It just handles this very well. And when you go to the layout manager, you will see the actual map that I'm showing you right now. And we can go over this and I haven't shown you actually the way to put the coordinate system on these. So normally it's accepted to just use VGS coordinate system here, but UTM requires to put it manually. And every UTM, every country, every place has its own UTM, marker. Right now we are in the 19 North Zone, and you need to find this. And you can find this helpful little map over here. You can click on it, or you can simply say VGS UTM, or just simply UTM. And then just from this section going down, you can just choose which projection that you want, and it's just going to show it on the map where actually it just covers. See, this is the Boston area, and this zone is actually for that. And you need to change it from the main window actually first. And then when you come to your map, you click on your map, and then it shows the map properties, and I normally say use the project projection, and then go to down there into grids, and then down there is the layers, but the main one is actually UTM, and when I modify that, it just shows you the details that you need to put in, and I chose solid, so it just has really visible lines. I use the maps projection and use the map units and divide the coordinates into 1 kilometer square fields, which is the standard. Every map is actually for every circle in UTM lines in standard maps is 1 kilometer. It makes the calculation so easy, because we are just counting it, giving a coordinate. You can with eyeball, without any instrument, you can just point somewhere and just read it and give the coordinate to anybody. If it's a rescue, your friends, your notebook, it doesn't matter, it's so easy. So 1 kilometer square is the standard. But you can change it if you like to. And you can just style it and everything, put some zebra lines around, choose the frame size and everything, but that's practically what you need to do. And then you need to draw coordinates on the next to it. Otherwise, it just shows lines. And I just use a custom script for that. But since you can shovel outside the frame, vertically ascending, and it will show the coordinates of that line. And that's it, actually. Afterwards, simply you can just, you know, add any kind of coordinate system that you want on the map. At this point, there is UTM for me, VGS 84, it's 4326 code, MGRS, dump some, how can I say, cosmetic reasons, some labels, some ticks, and some MGRS specific 100 kilometer squares that it's required to read it. And that will be it. And then you have a coordinate system that you can read. I can show you right over here in this corner. Let me just narrow this up so to let it be a little bit. See, this one over here is the UTM coordinate. This area's coordinate is actually 19 north. It's 3, 24, 0, 0, 0. And 49, 12, 0, 0, 0. This is exactly this place. And this is as easy as it gets. If the, your other party has the same map, you can simply like say 24, 12. And that will be it. That's all you need to just say. And the blue ones actually over here are the VGS coordinate system that you know, it's just degrees, -71.200. And the other one is on the other side. So you can do the same thing actually with that. There's small dots over here to just, you know, align the things. And the red one are actually MGRS military standards. So you can know the difference. It's almost UTM. The standard is UTM in itself, but there's a little bit difference and a little bit projection difference. That's the reason it requires that small red dots over there. And this gives you a practically useful map for, I don't know, whatever reasons you want. And you can change it any way you want. You can just make your own custom items. If you don't want to just push them on the OpenStreetMap, open up a new layer, just mark a bunch of things, name them, it will be on the map. If you want to change it globally, just go to the OpenStreetMap, edit it, and then download it again. So you will have that information for yourself and for the society too in the same time, so I can benefit from it. As an example, actually, this map has, the OpenStreetMap data for this area has an error. Somebody marked some arbitrary lines as curves. You will see that here. Can you see that? Just like there's a red line over here, over the mountains. It's as straight as a ruler. So it's not wrong, it's not correct. There's obviously something wrong. And if you're a local of the place, you can simply go there, see what it is. If it doesn't exist, you can just click it on the OpenStreetMap editor and say just, nope, this doesn't exist. And it will go away instantly for everybody. Sadly, it's there, and I'm not a local, so I'm not going to edit it. And let's see what I can show you. Anything that you are curious about at this point on this map? So I can just actually expand. Okay, this one, this little cute thing. Thanks for the taxpayer money of the United States citizens. I'm not sure about your weather department, at least. It just tracks where the magnetic north is. This value is important because, well, whenever you are on the Earth, the real north and the magnetic north is not the same. I think it's somewhere in Canada, North Canada right now, and just wandering around. Really, really just like, you know, not a little thing. And it changes annually. And if you have a compass, if you want to just navigate on a map for a long